Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church, and I will be teaching for the next 9 months while my husband, Pastor McIntosh, is on sabbatical. Pastor is scheduled to return July 2021. We thank you for joining us and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Due to the coronavirus, our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020-pound. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. It is our sincere desire that you live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen. My teaching titled Divine Healing, Our Covenant Right, is vital for mankind in general, and especially Christians, because we have an adversary, Satan, whose only intention is to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan's deadly diseases, including COVID-19, were spawned in the pit of hell to destroy God's greatest creation, man. For those of you who have been with me from the beginning of this teaching know that based on Scripture, I have made a valid case that the Holy Bible is a blood covenant book that was instituted by our Heavenly Father on the life, blood, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. As a result of Jesus' obedience and faithfulness to complete his earthly assignment, mankind can once again be reunited to our Creator and live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. God gave Jesus Christ, the second person of the Godhead, to lay his life down on our behalf, whereupon safeguarding the blood covenant he made with Abraham and ensuring that no man could once again separate us from him. As a result, we can depend on God's promises recorded in the Holy Bible. His promises are forevermore written and confirmed on this life unto death. I thank my God in Jesus Christ that God is not a man that he should lie. Further, that Jesus did complete his redemptive assignment for all men. Christians can rest assured that our salvation and abundant life is paid in full by the blood of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, including our covenant right to divine healing. Listener, if you were not with us last week, or you would like to listen to any of the previous programs aired, please go to our website at kccfc.net to hear the episodes now archived under our radio page. You may also give us your comments and or questions by way of our website at any time. We welcome them all. Now, before we read our four foundational scriptures for this teaching, I want to once again state for the record that I purposely am reading these foundational scriptures each week so that the truth contained in these verses will penetrate not just your mind, but your spirit. Whereupon, in the future, when sickness and disease try to come against you, the Holy Spirit will bring back to your remembrance this living word of God. Then you can speak this blessed word over your challenge and drive Satan and his demonic assignments away from you. To complete this teaching, we will be discussing the importance of making daily faith confessions over yourselves and loved ones. For this study, I will continue to quote from the Amplified Study Bible unless otherwise stated. Please turn to our first foundational scripture found in the book of Psalm, Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. Verse 1 says, "Bless and affectionately praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is deep within me. Bless his holy name." Bless and affectionately praise the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget any of his benefits, who forgives all your sins, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you lavishly with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfies your ears with good things so that your youth is renewed like the soaring eagle. Please turn to our second foundational scripture found in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 53, we're going to read verses 4 and 5. But in fact, he, Jesus, has bore our griefs, and he has carried our sorrows and pains. Yet we ignorantly assume that he was stricken, struck down by God and degraded, and humiliated by him. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our wickedness, our sin, our injustice, our wrongdoing. The punishment required for our well-being fell on him, Jesus, and by his stripes, wounds, we are healed. Please turn to our third foundational scripture found in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 8, we're going to read verses 16 and 17. When evening came, they brought to him Jesus many who were under the power of demons, and he cast out the evil spirits with a word and restored to health all who were sick, exhibiting his authority as Messiah, so that he fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He himself took our infirmities upon himself and carried away our diseases. Now let's turn to our last foundational scripture found in the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. He, Jesus, personally carried our sins in his body on the cross, willingly offering himself on it as an altar of sacrifice, so that we might die to sin, becoming immune from the penalty and power of sin, and live for righteousness. For by his, Jesus' wounds, you who believe have been healed. I want to emphasize that last phrase, listener. Pay close attention. It says, for by his, Jesus' wounds, you who believe have been healed. All of these scriptures and many more like them that we have read and examined throughout this teaching tell us that Jesus took every sickness, every pain, every disease on himself. As a result, we believers do not have to accept Satan's physical attacks on mankind. We are healed in Jesus. On January 6th of this year, we began our examination of the seven redemptive names of Jesus Christ. We know from Scripture that the gift of salvation includes many benefits, which can be seen clearly in the seven redemptive names. For this reason, I have been sharing with you the meaning of these names and how they benefit the believer. God wants you to know the richness of your position in Christ and live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. Last week, we began examining the seventh redemptive name, which is Jehovah Tzidkenu, meaning the Lord our righteousness. Righteousness means right standing with God, and it was provided by the life, blood, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Messiah. This name lets us know we have been delivered from the sin nature by accepting Jesus' gift of salvation and now have eternal life with God. Please turn to the book of 2 Corinthians where we left off. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 20. Verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that is grafted in, joined to him by faith in him as Savior, he is a new creature, reborn and renewed by the Holy Spirit. The whole things, the previous moral and spiritual condition have passed away. Behold, new things have come because spiritual awakening brings a new life. Verse 18. But all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, making us acceptable to him, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, so that by our example we might bring others to Christ. That is, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting people's sin against them, but canceling them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation, that is, restoration to favor with God. Last verse, verse 20. It says, so we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making his appeal through us. We, as Christ's representatives, plead with you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. Amen. Now, family, before we leave this passage, I want to highlight some very important points that are being made. So let's go back to verse 17. And I want to read that first part of the verse that says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that is grafted in, joined to him by faith in him as Savior. So the prerequisite to having this righteousness and reconciliation with our Heavenly Father is contingent on that person receiving the gift of salvation. Again, joined to him by faith in him as Savior. And that in him is Jesus the Christ. Drop down to verse number 18, and just that middle section of the first sentence says, God who reconciled us to himself through Christ, making us acceptable to him. Remember, we're talking about having right standing with God, righteousness. Well, God did this through Jesus Christ on our behalf. So when we accept the gift of salvation, we become acceptable, righteous before the Heavenly Father. Now in verse 19, I want to read almost the whole verse. It says, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting people's sin against them, but canceling them. That's what happens when we receive the gift of salvation. All sin, past, present, and future, are canceled because of the work that Jesus completed. He has paid the cost for all sin, and we should shout with joy because we no longer have to be held accountable for the sins that we committed, past, present, or future. It goes on to say, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation, that is, restoration to favor with God. So when we share the good news of Jesus Christ with others, we are actually sharing that message of reconciliation, which is restoration back to the Heavenly Father. Last verse, verse 20, I want to reread this whole verse one time. Listener, pay close attention. This is you. We are ambassadors for Christ. Once we receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, we represent Jesus Christ in the earth realm. As though God was making his appeal through us, we, as Christ's representatives, plead with you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. So we have to share the good message of salvation with others so that others, just like we did, can accept the gift and be cleansed and set righteous before the Heavenly Father. Please turn to the book of Galatians for my final biblical citation for this name, Jehovah Teskenu, the Lord our righteousness. Galatians chapter 3, we're going to read verses 26 and 27. Verse 26 says, for you who are born again have been reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, sanctified, and are all children of God, set apart for his purpose with full rights and privileges through faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 27, for all of you who were baptized into Christ, the anointed, have clothed yourself with Christ. That is, you have taken on his characteristics and values. Amen. Again, family, let's just examine a couple of the phrases that are in these two verses that are so very important for every believer. So with going back to verse 26, I want to reread the whole verse. It says, for you, talking about who are born again, have been reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, sanctified, and are all children of God. So if you want to be called the child of the Most High God, you're going to need to receive the gift of salvation so you can go through this transformation, be renewed and sanctified, set apart for his purpose with full rights and privileges. Remember, we're talking about the benefits of our salvation in Jesus Christ. So once you receive the gift of salvation, you have rights and you have privileges through faith in Christ Jesus. Last verse, verse 27, I just want to highlight the very last phrase that says, you have taken on his characteristics and values. Whose characteristics and values have we taken on? Jesus the Christ. Oh my goodness, this is good news for us children of the Most High God, because God no longer sees us inadequate, sinful, with limitations. He sees us in Jesus Christ because we have taken on the characteristics and values of his perfect Lamb, Jesus the Christ, our Messiah. Amen and amen. So in summary, I want to remind you that Jesus is the Lord our righteousness. Amen. To close this section of my teaching, I would like to summarize the seven redemptive names of our Savior and Lord that we have examined throughout this month of January and a few weeks in February. So let's start at the top. Jesus is our healer. We are healed in Jesus. This is one of the many victories he won on our behalf at the cross. When we receive Jesus as our Savior and Lord, we take on his character and image, which is perfect and complete. And there is no sickness in Jesus. Amen. Number two, Jesus is always with us. It is good to know that we can trust on our Savior because he will never leave us nor forsake us. No matter what is going on in this world, Jesus is present in the good and bad times. We can count on him to show us the way of escape no matter what situation presents itself. Amen. Number three, Jesus is our peace. He gives us his perfect peace that surpasses all understanding. The Hebrew definition of peace, which is the word shalom, means peace, harmony, wholeness, completeness, prosperity, fair welfare, and tranquility. Everything that is good for God's children. Number four, Jesus is our shepherd. He watches over, rears, and guides us. He loves and cares for us like no other. He will not allow us to be devoured or scattered by the enemy if we follow God's word. Next one, Jesus is our provider. He supplies and furnishes all of our needs according to his riches in glory. We do not have to worry about tomorrow and or this world's shortages. We are abundantly supplied in Jesus always. Next one, Jesus is our banner. He goes before us to fight our battles. Since he has already defeated Satan, we are victorious without question. Christians are called to fight the good fight of faith. And the fight is good because we are winners in Jesus. Last and seventh name, Jesus is our righteousness. He is the one that has provided us right standing with God through his life, blood, and resurrection. He has delivered us from Satan and the curse. When we accept his gift of salvation, we have eternal life with the Heavenly Father. This finishes our examination of the seven redemptive names of Jesus. From this point on, and to complete this study on our covenant right to healing, I want to discuss the importance of making daily faith confessions over ourselves and loved ones. To do so, I want to share with you, in part, my study titled, The Authority of Our Words. This study explains the importance of speaking what I call God talk over our lives and situations that come against us. Let's start by defining the word authority. From the Webster's New College Dictionary, authority means the power or right to give commands, enforce obedience, take action, or make final decisions. A person in authority, such power as delegated to another, authorization, persons, especially in government, having the power or right to enforce orders, laws. I want to highlight so that you can keep this in your mind as we go through our study. The first definition for authority. It says, the power or right to give commands. God has given this authority to us. Enforce obedience. He has given us this authority. Take action or make final decisions. God has given us this kind of authority over Satan, his demonic angels, and evil assignments. Please keep this definition in mind as we examine the authority God has given Christians through Jesus the Christ. As a brief reminder, Adam's act of sin in the Garden of Eden turned over his authority and power over mankind to Satan and his evil devices. The good news is that with the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, Christians have regained their authority in Christ. However, it is up to us to give God permission to work in our lives through our words, prayers, and faith confessions. God will never break his word or blood covenant with mankind. If we want the goodness of God working on our behalf, we will need to learn what the Holy Bible says regarding any situation that we come across, and by faith pray for the manifestation of God's covenant promises in our lives. God clearly tells us that whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Let's read two validating passages from the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 16, I'm going to be reading verse 19. Jesus is speaking. I will give you the keys, authority of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind, forbid, declare to be improper and unlawful on earth will have already been bound in heaven. And whatever you loose, permit, declare lawful on earth will have already been loosed in heaven. Family, this is something to shout about. And it also gives us the responsibility to step out in faith to speak God's word continually. I want to read that one more time. I want you listeners to listen very carefully to what Jesus is telling us. He says, I will give you the keys, authority of the kingdom of heaven. When did God or Jesus give us this authority? When we accepted the gift of salvation. And whatever you bind, forbid, declare to be improper and unlawful on earth will have already been bound in heaven. So our words can keep those evil assignments from flourishing and taking us over. So this is why it's so important to find out what your covenant rights are, so that you can speak the solution and not the problem. Let me continue. It says, and whatever you loose, permit, declare lawful on earth will have already been loosed in heaven. Again, Satan's evil assignments can be bound up by the word of God. And the solution, God's promises, can be set loose into this kingdom for our good when we speak the word over the circumstances of life. Let's go on to Matthew chapter 18. We're going to read verses 18 and 19. Again, Jesus is speaking. Verse 18 says, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, whatever you bind, forbid, declare to be improper and unlawful on earth shall have already been bound in heaven. And whatever you loose, permit, declare lawful on earth shall have already been loosed in heaven. Verse 19, again I say to you, that if two believers on earth agree, that is, are of one mind in harmony about anything that they ask within the will of God, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Oh, family, I'm looking at my time, and my time is up. Please return next week as we continue our study on divine healing, our covenant right. Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.